Hello, everyone, and welcome to November's edition of the NPL Show. And joining us here back at a very snug and warm Heaton Hops, we're joined once again by the great and good of non-league journalism. We're joined by James Hayes, social media officer for the glorious Northern Premier League. Mr. Ian Burke is here from 26-0, the glorious commentary team of Hyde United.
Hiya, Ben.
And from the non-league world that is Cheshire, Mr. Andrew Simpson's here. Hello, Simo. How are you?
I'm all right.
You're right? Yeah, I'm all good. And we should say the radiator's on here, and it's lovely.
And you're closest to it, and I can't feel it.
No, but the chances are I might fall asleep during this broadcast. Not because of anything that's said, but just because it's really warm and nice and lovely.
I was telling Simo the other day that I listened to the podcast to go to sleep on a Friday night.
You've told me that before. It hurt the first time.
No, but in a nice way. It relaxes me, hearing your dulcet tones and all that kind of thing. Yeah, it's good.
Excellent. Coming up on this month's show, we're going to be looking back at what's been quite a frantic November. I mean, the main talking point's been the managerial changes that's been going on. Mm. I think, Simo, you said off air, I've never known anything like it.
Well, obviously, statistically, I can't prove that's that air right now, but it must
we
be.
We don't need facts anymore. It's the post-truth area. Fact. It's all about feelings. What do you feel?
My feeling is that this has been an unprecedented week in the history of the Northern Premier League with five clubs changing managers. Burkey did point out that Michael Clegg moved from one club to another, but not everyone's been fired. But still, for there to be five changes, all of teams pretty much within touching distance of each other at the bottom of the table. Do you think it's linked? And what I mean by that is do clubs look at their rivals near the bottom and go, oh, maybe we should make a change as well?
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they do. They might even go, oh, they've got rid of such and such a body, have they? And it has a knock-on effect further down the divisions. Brad Cook, I mean, he's left West Didsbury and Charlton now to rejoin Atherton Coles as their new manager. So West, they're going to be in the market for a new manager, and it sets the chain off again a little bit further down the divisions.
Any of the changes surprised you?
One that needs to stand out there, I think we all said.
Ashton United, is that what we're talking about? Ashton United, Burkey, you've obviously got your ear to the ground in Tameside. Yeah. Needed more time, or would Jody accept that he's kind of not met expectations of what Ashton could achieve, especially?
I think he would. I was actually speaking to Simo about this on Saturday at the Hyde versus Witten game, and when Ashton United got promoted a couple of seasons ago, it was on a shoestring, well, essentially a shoestring budget, certainly compared to the teams around them at the top end of the table. And they got relegated last year. It was no great surprise, but they put up a decent fight. Whereas this season, Jody's had some money. Not really known quite what to do with it. People have come in, players will come in with higher than usual demands, and he's had the war chest there to say, all right, yeah, come on, we'll go for it. And I think he's probably got the players he wanted, but unfortunately they just haven't gelled. They've got some great individuals there, they really have, and for whatever reason it's just not worked out from this season. It doesn't mean that Jody Banning's turned into a bad manager overnight or over the space of 18 months, because he hasn't. He worked absolute miracles. Remember when he went to Ashton United in the first place, he had the entire team stripped off him. They all went over to Stalybridge Bridge with Philo and Ackers. So I just think he's going to be back in a job soon. He really will be. But then again, there's a lot of very good managers who they don't get back in. And I really think someone's going to take a punt on Jody Banning with the CV that he's got.
Hiring Michael Clegg, James, is a bit of a masterstroke, I think.
I mean,
if you could get him, and Ashton could get him.
It's a bit tough one to say, because obviously I pointed out last week before it all broke out,
Clegg's news,
just
breaking out
everywhere,
all over the shop.
You can see that he was getting ready for the future. Everton, 300 games in, celebration. Everton were building for the future, just joined the NPL Academy, so they were looking to it, and then all of a sudden, he's gone. And you can see a couple of players beforehand starting to creep out. So it's
a different attitude. To be fair, when a manager leaves, as we said there, when Jody came into Ashton, the players leave with the management, don't they?
Ashton were actually on a bit of a bounce back. I'm forgetting Saturday was all just gone. Yeah, the fixtures weren't in their favour at the same time. Nantwich, Radcliffe, Matlock, Freetham.
The four defeats they had in the last six were against Lancaster, Witten, Nantwich, and Radcliffe. They beat Buxton, they beat Gainsborough. You can't really describe that as a bounce back, though, could you?
No, but even still, the fixtures weren't Jody's, but you were still picking up the results.
They were picking up results here and there. And this is interesting. I mean, my gut was that of all of them, he probably had more credit in the bank, maybe deserved a little bit more time. But what was really interesting in one of the interviews that Jody's given since is that, I mean, he's brutally frank when he was talking about, you know, I've made mistakes. That said, also, we've sat around this table, including me and the summer, and looked at who they'd brought in and gone, Ashton are the real deal. I think we can't be wise after the event either. I think fair play to him. I think he's learnt an awful lot. And like Berkey says, I think he deserves a shot somewhere else. And it'll be interesting to see if he's learned the lessons from that. What it does leave, though, and what Michael Clegg inherits is a difficult situation. When you've got that many players on contract, there's not a massive amount of wriggle room for him. So I'm sure he's got ideas. I'm sure he's got people he'd like to bring in. He was in the stand on Saturday when they had another pretty calamitous home defeat. There's obviously problems there, but how much wriggle room he's got is interesting. I mean, James was saying about the context that at Coles and kind of where they were in their kind of overall development. We were talking about this, weren't we, on Saturday, about realistically how much further could he take them in their current guise? Have Everton Coles hit their ceiling? And I don't mean that in any way disrespectfully, but we've sat around this table and said, if they finish 19th this season, that's a brilliant season. And as a manager, that's a difficult thing to...
Based on the social media, and it's purely based on a handful of Atherton Coles fans who I'm aware of on social media. hello, Gibbo. There's a kind of acceptance that, you know, he's ranked to take that job on.
Yeah, I think that's been interesting, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. He's gone with everyone's blessing, basically. Yeah. He's gone to a club which Atherton Coles fans see as being... a bigger club, a club probably with more potential than Coles too. They've certainly got a better infrastructure
for now.
There.
For now.
For now. But that's it, Ben. Atherton Coles don't have the same resources that Ashton United do. And there's a real potential there for Ashton to get back up into the National League North. And you never know, potentially even that one step further on now that they've got the backing, a little bit of money behind them too. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes with Clegg. He's an absolutely brilliant motivator of teams.
I was going to say though, I mean, Atherton Coles, they've reacted quite quickly. Yeah. And they've appointed Brad Cook from West Isby at Cholton. Obviously, he's a bit of a folk hero at the club to begin with. So I think he's Michael Clegg's friend as well.
They're really good friends. Everyone's mates with Clegg.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. It's kind of hiring from within without being...
It is, and I said off air that they've probably managed to find the only bloke in the postcode of Everton that's more popular than Cleggy himself, which is remarkable, really. But I think that, I mean, look, Coles had a fantastic response, didn't they, on Saturday to hammer Bamber Bridge, and who are another team who've obviously changed their manager since the weekend. And because we did our predictions on Saturday afternoon and all went, oh, Bamber Bridge will be rubbing their hands going to Avant Coles this afternoon. Yeah. A team that's reeling from the loss of a very, very popular and influential individual is ripe for picking. And they completely confounded all of us with the performance that they put in. As it would give me now more optimism with someone of Brad's charisma, because he is a really charismatic guy, going in there, and there'll now not be a sense of people feeling sorry for themselves or a sense of loss. He has got the personality to galvanise the place and get them moving forward. Obviously, the kind of question mark is he's been a manager for literally the number of games that West Digby and Chorlton have played this season, so there's a massive question mark about him stepping up to step three at this early stage of his career. That would worry me a little bit, but what a better place for him as an individual to do it than the club that he knows.
I mean, he's
going to
have a bit more room with Everton and Clegg as with Ashton, because
he
came in at the start of the season. We're going to have that manager bounce in some cases again. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't scare me a second.
Does a new management bounce cancel out another club's new management bounce?
Can Ashton quite literally, as well as metaphorically, afford to write the season off? Or do you think they've made the change now thinking they can still, even from 19th position,
15 points,
make a challenge for a player?
It's an heck of a long way back, in it. But the thing is, if Coles get relegated, it won't be a disaster. If Ashton United get relegated, then it's the end of the world. I might have overstepped that. Overstated things slightly.
It would be back-to-back relegation, so it's a pretty seismic.
Yeah, but
mess.
And to be honest, there is always a team that does do that trip.
Not always. What are you trying to, hang on, what are you trying to say here?
I'm just saying, I'm looking at two people who've been on that journey.
That's true, man.
Right, let's talk about some of the other managerial changes. Big result for Africa Calls against Bamba Bridge. That transpires was the last game for Joey Collins in charge. Spoke to Joey on Friday, obviously, on last week's show. It's
going on what the club's put out, you know, it's important to stress that Joey's not been fired. You know, he stepped down for what they're describing as personal reasons. I do believe, though, that that was a huge blow, that defeat on Saturday, because it came off the back of a really good result at home the previous week, and they were desperate to get back-to-back wins, which would have put a little bit of daylight between them and the bottom three. So it was a hammer blow to lose, not only lose the game but lose in the way that they did, because you know it was a thrashing.
That was a stunning win against Marper, though.
It was
it?
A brilliant win. Yeah. So that's probably kind of magnified.
That's why we got him on the disappointment for that win. Yeah. It was a great result.
Bamberg in quite a similar position to Coles, in that if they finish fourth bottom, that represents success for them this season. I don't think there's any secret that they're going to be in a relegation battle.
Is there a problem here with Bamber Bridge? Because they're going through managers like nobody's business, aren't they? I mean, this is...
Well, how many is that since Renault? You know, Mickey Taylor, Joey Collins, and now they've made another change, so it'd be
before.
The...
Four.
Yeah. Which is a concern.
I mean, we should say we are recording this on Wednesday. I do jokingly say that most clubs make their press statements on new managers 5 o'clock on a Friday, just as I'm finishing the edit. But you know, they might hire someone in the meantime. Well, and
their statement does say that they're not inviting applications, which suggests that they know who they're going to appoint. So I'll be amazed if we don't know who it is before the weekend. And it'll be interesting. I mean, it doesn't change their objectives. They're just trying not to get relegated, aren't they?
You look at the teams who are below. I'm sorry, Tio, go on.
I was just going to say, whoever comes in has got a great squad to work at the moment. Bamber Bridge have scored in the last 12 games.
Yeah. With regards to the other managerial change then affecting the team down the bottom end, Buxton, Philo leaving. Gary Haywood coming in, we understand, from Hensford.
Right.
So, what does that mean?
I think this one was one where... It surprised me a little bit how long they took to act.
I thought they would have kicked on because they were threatening things. We can sum up Buxton in two games back to back. They beat Grantham 7-0. The very next game they lose 7-0 to FC United. You just couldn't tell which Buxton were going to show up. They've got the individuals there. I mean, Diego De Girolamo, he's arguably the best striker they've got there. He's arguably the best striker in the division.
And his brother, don't forget his brother.
Well, he's an half-decent defender as well, but they've got Alex Brown there at left-back, England C international. They've got a lot of talent in that team. And they're just not performing. And very similar with Ashton United. They should be much higher up the table when you consider the personnel. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't gelled this season. And I think it's a proper terrible shame, actually.
One thing I would say is Gary Haywood came in to Hensford midway through last season and did a really good job with them, and they finished comfortably clear of the bottom. But I saw them towards the end of the season and they actually played some really lovely football as well. His style is attractive. It was good to watch.
And it suits the pitch there too.
And I was just going to say, and if he's going to kind of try and replicate that at Buxton, he's got quite literally a perfect... foundation to do that on. He leaves a team that's also doing really well. We had a look, didn't we, before coming out. The Hensford are in the playoffs in the Southern Premier Central Division. So a manager that's clearly knows what he's doing. Yes, he's got a big job on, but quietly, because he's come from another league, might actually end up being one of the shrewdest appointments of what we've talked about tonight.
I mean, isn't the problem with new management bounces, which is why I made that joke before, James, was the fact that Ashley United are going to get a new management bounce. Gainsborough Trinity are midway through a new management bounce. Bamber Bridge are going to have a new management bounce, as are Atherton Colts. And look out, everyone, because Scarborough's on the way up. So it's...
Poor old Morpeth, eh?
Morpeth have only played four games. So it's... I mean, it's... They can't all be right, is what I'm trying to say, can they?
No, to bring it full circle, what Berg said is interesting. It has this domino effect. People look at each other and go, oh, they've changed, should we act? They've changed, should we do something? Everyone's played their hand now, perhaps with the exception of Stafford. So... This is set now, and who's gonna make the difference? Who's gonna climb the table? And if they do that, obviously means someone else is gonna fall down. But it's just been incredible to me to see over the last 7-10 days that everyone's acted at the same time.
I mean, it's not only that as well, looking at the next couple of fixtures, none of them are tending to be playing each other either, so
I feel like I'm missing someone though.
Well, you've got my media officer here.
Berkey, it's great you've been here.
Oh, are we going to talk about Scarborough?
Yeah, Darren Kelly.
It's made for him.
He's left Hyde United with Dave McGurk, who's not doing too bad a job, in all fairness.
Well, he's doing a very good job, actually,
it's, Dave. Yeah. It's fine, isn't it?
It's serendipitous that he left Hyde when he did. And 3 days...
Are you spelling that? Go on.
He left Hyde on the Thursday, had a new job just after the weekend. And in fact, was it actually on the Sunday? I don't know. Was it Sunday or the Monday? I don't know. Either way, he had a job a few days later, and it is absolutely a match made in heaven. This he was briefly on the books at Scarborough as a player when they were playing down at Bridlington. He got involved with the fans there, and he only saw him play for about 5 minutes, but they loved him, and he loved them. And I think in another universe, he probably would have been there a few years earlier. But it just sat perfectly for him. The timing was great. And he's got a really good squad to work with there. For whatever reason, it wasn't working with John Deese. Oh, blimey, it's going to be this show's going to be called For Whatever Reason, isn't it? I must have said it about four
times. It's fine.
Times,
for whatever reason, it's just something you keep saying.
I know, it's ridiculous. I should come up with some reasons, really.
You should.
Than saying for whatever reason, shouldn't I? Maybe some of the players' attitude there, because you saw him against Witton Albion, that 3-1 defeat, didn't you?
Yeah, and I was just going to say, you know, we're talking about good fits for clubs and appointments that maybe will galvanise the club, and we're talking about Brad Cook's personality, Brad Cook's charisma. Well, Darren Kelly is absolutely perfect for the job that Scarborough need doing at the moment. They need someone to come in and shake that dressing room up.
It's going to be a whirlwind, isn't it?
Someone who's got the force of personality. And that came across in his interview with you on Friday. I mean, he's almost like a coiled spring, couldn't wait to get started. I think he's excited and does acknowledge that there's some talented players that have, let's have it right, massively underachieved this season for different reasons. And I think that after seeing them live on the previous Saturday, I mean, they were dishevelled, disinterested, accepted defeat easy. They are right for a manager to go in and really shake things up. And I mean, what a great start to beat your bitterest rivals in the first game. So
what, Hyde? Not play Hyde. What are you talking about?
If he did need any extra brownie points, well, he clocked them up really quickly. I mean, you know, the impact alone of a derby win can be transformative. So I think I'm really excited to see what he can do in the next few weeks. Look, it's a big job.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd be expecting Scarborough now to rise up the table a bit, just with that managerial change?
I mean, again, all depends on what Darren Kelly's got planned in mind. Again, seeing what Berkey was saying before, Coulson, Walsher, they haven't been on fire at all this season. They're nowhere near the top 10 goal scorers or anything like that. And it's a very tough strikers league this year too.
Attitude can change absolutely everything. I mean, Walsher he'll go in there and gee everybody up. He's going to be absolutely brilliant for that club.
Right, I think we've covered all the managerial changes.
We've been here 3 hours.
With a big footnote and disclaimer at time of recording, just to be clear. I think we should draw a line under this part of the show, and then when we come back, we'll be talking about the league a bit higher up, the promotion race, the playoff race, and everything in between. Welcome back to the Heat and Hop here in Stockport, the home of great beer, and this week, the home of the NPL show for the month of November, no less. And around the table, we're joined once again, they've not left, surprisingly, James Hayes is here from the league. Mr. Ian Burke is here from 26-0, a non-league reporter from Cheshire, Mr. Andrew Simo. Hello. Simpson.
Hello.
Right, let's talk about the top end of the table. And currently, up at the top...
Oh, someone's on a winning run.
Don't stop it. Right, OK. Let's talk about the top of the table. The top, not fifth. And
lovely stuff.
South Shields and Lancaster City. They've got a bit of a gap now to the rest of the league.
Mm.
Expecting them to stay there.
Well, it feels like South Shields haven't moved, but part of the reason for that is
they haven't.
Well, what I mean is not added to their points tally, but they've had about 300 games in the FA Trophy, haven't they? So they've actually had a pretty empty.
Good win over Stourbridge.
Fantastic, actually, on the series point. Great result for them.
Well, they've only played once in the league this month.
Exactly.
Actually, a tighter game than you'd imagine as well. They won 2-1 over at Stafford. But Jason Gilchrist, he's in outstanding form at the moment, scored 5 in his last 4 games. It's going to be difficult to stop Shields in the form that they're in, but we knew that anyway. We knew that from the start of the season, and as far as I'm concerned, absolutely nothing's changed. They've got an interesting month ahead though, haven't they? They've got to play Warrington down in third place. They've got Southport in the FA Trophy. I actually think they might just beat them.
I think they will.
Cone gave them a right good run for the money, didn't they? Yeah. They ended up losing 3-2 in the end against Southport. Then got the mighty Radcliffe and then go to Whitby. So, yeah, they've got a really, really tough month. If they come unscathed, through the league games anyway this month, I don't think anyone's going to stop them anyway, but I really don't think anyone will stop them, especially if they beat Warrington.
I think that's the biggest game of the season so far on Saturday. Please don't shout at me Lancaster supporters, because I know you had a great win up there, but I think the run that Warrington are on, the form that they're in, I think that is the biggest game of the season so far. And of course, Warrington went up there in the playoffs last season and won to get their place in the Super Playoff final. So...
And Warrington are unbeaten away so far this season.
Yeah.
I mean, Warrington have been pretty impressive, haven't they, since we last spoke? They've kind of just been quietly, but almost by stealth, overtaking Basford.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great win against Nantwich. You know, they put them away pretty comprehensively, didn't they? And it's now 5 wins in the past 6 games. You know, didn't feel that long ago about Warrington when they were like 10th and 11th, and we were saying, oh God, they're 15 points behind South Shields or whatever it was at the time, a dozen points. They've done brilliantly to close that gap. They've put themselves right back in it. Yep. Warrington are back, if you like. Yep. And they'll want to confirm that by getting a result on Saturday.
Spreading the goals around as well. Ben Garrity, Bowen Dixon, Tony Gray, they've all notched multiple times this season. But like South Shields, they've got an absolutely stinking horrible month. In fact, it's probably the worst set of fixtures out of anyone in the division. They've got South Shields on Saturday, then they've got Basford, then they've got to go to Morpeth, and then guaranteed draw, they're at home against Witten.
You just had to get that in.
I mean, he's right, he's all... We are missing Lancaster here, and obviously Matt Fell's taking a step back.
He's going to leave a big gap though. I think
having seen Lancaster, 2 halves of Lancaster, I think in the first half they missed Mark Fell.
Okay.
I think in the second half, without being too disrespectful, started playing, I think, like Mark Fell was on the touchline.
The evidence is that, you know, that they've got everything it takes to hang around. I mean, they were unbeaten in 9 games before they arrived at Broadhurst Park on Saturday. So there's a good body of work there that shows that, you know, they can be consistent. They're unbeaten at home this season. So, you know, cliche klaxon about it being a difficult place to go. Yeah. Well, it's backed up by facts. So,
what's your feeling now? Enough about facts. What's your feeling?
I think that Warrington are better equipped to mount a challenge, and I think Basford are better equipped to mount a challenge. But going on the interview that Mark Fell gave with you a few weeks back, I don't think he cares about that. I mean, he let us talk about those teams that will quite suit them, and they can just carry on going about their business. But I just think they're just better resourced, aren't they?
But if you win more than half your games, you're doing something right, and they've won 10 out of 18, and it's brilliant, and they're going to win a few more this month. They've got to play Buxton, Stalybridge, Stafford and Bamber Bridge. So, oh no, or they're going to lose them all because of the management bounce.
New management bounce. Oh. I should say, you mentioned something which I think is true. Matt Fell's not going to be happy with us talking about Lancaster this much, so we're going to move on quickly. Basford.
Well, we don't want to talk about them either. I mean, they've lost the last 3 and pretty comprehensive. No wins in 3, I should say, because they had that 3-3 draw, didn't they, with
Whitby,
Whitby, of course, losing at FC United and Radcliffe. Everyone loses at Radcliffe, though,
don't
they?
At the moment.
They might be Radcliffe Borough.
I don't have to ask him, do I?
Go on. It's only fair.
It is only fair.
Yeah.
You can skip forward if you want.
Okay. Does that mean drink this beer? A little sip of this beer. What was I going
to... I'm going to say it now, though, Ben. I think the Borough, will finish above Basford.
Ooh.
Well, dramatic times. okay, so...
But I still think they'll get relegated.
Very good.
So, go on. Well, this is your moment, Marty McCutcheon, go for it.
Oh God!
We're 18 points clear of relegation. That's the only. That's the only important thing.
Give over. I'm fed up with this poor man business. What, come on, what's going on?
Again, it's just we take games in hand. We took the advantage. Good draw against Warrington Town. 4 points off Basford. 2 wins against Staley Bridge. The only team, 2 teams struggle out against at the moment are the 2 teams at the top, looking comfortable, looking settled.
6 out of 6 in November as well. Got to be team of the month, I'd assume.
I'm guessing so. We got beat last night by Lancaster in the Lancashire Trophy, but I think
that's December. Who cares?
But no, but obviously still. In, but yeah, I think there's more important things on the mind at this moment in time. But
hang on, is that an admission that you're looking at promotion?
Yeah, I was just going to say, what's the move? Whoa. Are people changing their
good?
I'm not shifting their objectives, even if it's quietly.
You should be a journalist. Good question.
Again, at the start of the season, I said, finish 19th, I'll be happy. I'm absolutely ecstatic. I think we're all partying at the moment.
You would not be happy with 19th.
If you finish 19th now, you'd be fuming.
Yeah, I would, yeah, especially, but I'd still be happy that we stayed up.
If you finish 19th now, it'll be the worst second half of the season ever. What's the target now?
12th.
Well, it's 7 places higher, so that's a.
But again, just all depends on what we can do second half of the season. I mean, I'm not too worried about this new manager bounce. We're playing well.
You've only played 15 games.
I know we've got a game in hand on South Shields. Win, beat South Shields on the 21st with a goal top of the table.
Nah, let's slip the mask slip. The mask slip. There we go. There's but your answer.
Who have you got over the festive period? Is your
Everton and FC.
That's right.
New Year's Day.
You're putting the place there.
Happy New Year. Right, okay.
Ben, here's another thing. They've only played 15 games, but the only teams that have won more games than them in the division are the top two.
Yeah. Let's talk about the teams just outside the playoffs at the moment. First off, Stalybridge Celtic.
Like with Radcliffe, where they've won an extraordinary amount of games. Well, actually, Stalybridge, they've won the same amount of games as Radcliffe, albeit playing 3 games more. But it's incredible that they're so high in the division after losing half the matches. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But there they are. They either win or they lose. And you just don't know which.
They scored 27, they concede 26.
Yeah, and they're on really, really good form at the moment as well. But they got Darius Ousside there, scored 8 goals. But the thing is there, he gave everyone else a 2-month head start.
On that, Simon Howell said himself when he interviewed him on the show that he thinks they're ahead of where he expected them to be. So that tells you everything you need to know. That's not playing it down. I think he's made up that they're ahead of where he thought they were going to be. But I think there'll be a slight regression to the mean, but I still expect them to do better than last season, and that's what they're after.
And Bower Fold is a much, much happier place now than it was 6-10 months ago. Yeah. And
is it all down to Oldham Rugby League Club? Let's talk about Wigan Albion.
Let's.
Oh God, do we have to?
Okay, let's talk about the weekend. 0-0.
It was all right. Wigan dodged a bullet by my admission and by the admission of their own manager, who we spoke to after the game, didn't we? And that's helped them now. They've only lost 1 of the last 9 games, ticking along very nicely. Very similar to Stalybridge, probably a little bit ahead of where they would have expected to be at this stage, given not a lack of ambition, given that the injuries that they've had, and they've still got those players slowly coming back. The thing that's changed for Witten is it's built on fantastic home form, which was actually pretty dodgy last season, and they've got the best home record in the league, along with South Shields at the moment, and with a couple of home games in December, they'll be looking to kick on a little bit further. But yeah, 7th, they're more than happy, 2 points outside the playoffs at this stage of the season.
There's such a talented team there as well, and I thought it was really interesting what he said to us on Saturday about Simo, that they love defending.
Yeah.
And you can see it, they're more than happy just to sit back and battle away. They had one shot in the second half against Hyde, and they never looked likely to go forward. They just wanted to defend that point that they were clearly after in the second period. The referee helped them, and certainly the linesman did.
I think that's a totally fair comment, but that does make them very unusual in non-league like that. I mean, it's partly that they're exceptionally well coached, but they have obviously good individual talent back there, and they back themselves. It's not always great to watch, I accept that, but they back themselves to have nicked a 1-0 Saturday, but they were happy with 0-0. Hold what you have.
Yeah. But then again, it all changed when Danny McKenna went off at half time.
Yeah,
the shape had to change. Caesar comes on, he's a lot more defensive, And he just sat there and protected the back four, did a great job. And I actually really admire Witten.
What a lovely compliment.
Well,
I do. No, yeah. I really, really do. I think Cal McCauley, year on year, does a brilliant job, no matter what club he's at.
The one thing I just tweeted at the weekend, just to finish off on Witten, that Michael Clegg's move now means that Cal McCauley's the longest serving manager in the Premier Division. Which is pretty extraordinary.
That is extraordinary, isn't it? Let's talk about the three teams who are currently on 26 points. Starting off with FC United. 3 points outside the playoffs.
Never mind that. Never mind where they are points-wise. Just look at the goal tally. Yeah. They've scored at least twice in the last 8 games. They're just completely scattergun with it, aren't they? They can't help but score goals.
They've got goal scorers left, right and centre. Another one gets involved.
They've had 3 league games this month, conceded 7 goals. 10 in all competitions. It's just... They really need to sort themselves out. And what's going on, Ben, where you're taking a nice, comfortable lead and then taking your eye off the ball completely and start conceding goals?
Are you asking me a question?
I am, actually.
Thank you. Thank you. It's about time.
It happened against Witten a couple of weeks ago. It happened again on Saturday against Lancaster. I don't quite understand why it's happening.
I go back to... what I said at the start of the series in August, where I said, you know, we're just here for a good time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's true. That position old. I don't know. I think the way that FC are playing at the moment, glorious fun, great to watch.
Oh, yeah.
They're so open, though, that whether that will cost them ultimately, we'll have to wait and see. But they'll back themselves to score and outscore pretty much everybody. And they can hurt you from all parts of the pitch. That's the problem.
I mean, this is the thing with the Buxton game. When FC United went 2-0 up against Lancaster, I literally thought at that point, we've got another Buxton here.
Really?
Because that's how FC United work. You get on 5-0 up at half time.
You get on a roll, don't
you? Yeah. And I think it's a Neil Reynolds thing, this, because it was when he first took over at FC United, we played Blythe Spartans and Hereford, and we did the same thing. It was like bish, bash, bosh. It was like 3 goals in...
And I've seen it a couple of weeks ago. They have spells in games where you can't get near them, and when they're in that purple patch, you just got to hang in there as best as you possibly can, because ultimately you know you can get chances at the other end of the field, and that'll be interesting how that pans out.
And I think as well, Charlie Ennis has finally found a club for the first time in a few years since he was really swashbuckling away at Stalybridge Celtic a few years ago. That suits him down to the ground, and he feels comfortable, and he can express himself. He's not starting that often. Is he not?
No.
You've got loads of options.
Yeah, you've got Michael Donoghue, you've got Alex Curran, you've got Linney, and you know there's only 3 places there for those 4 players. I feel like I'm missing someone as well. No, I do apologise.
Rodney scoring the other day as well. At last,
can I say that goal that now Rodney scored for Lancaster? When you watch it, I don't know how he scored that, because he's headed it like a proper full-on header, but with the back of his skull. So
oh,
I don't
really?
Know. Yeah. I don't know how he's done it. Anyway, what about Nantwich Town? What does that defeat to Warrington on Saturday mean, if anything?
It's a setback. They're one of these teams that, because they've been in and out of FA Cup, FA Trophy, this, that, the other, they've lost a little bit of momentum in the league through no fault of their own at all. And that'll be what they want to do in December, just to try and get on a little run, trying to get 2 or 3 wins on the board if they can during December, and they'll be right back in the mix. I'm not worried about them, but they've probably found it quite frustrating that they've not been able to gather any momentum for a little while.
In the last few years, Nantwich, they've had a little bit of a fear factor about them when they've gone to play against teams. Other sides have known that they're going to be in for a really, really tough game.
Surely they've still got that.
I don't think they have, not away from home. They've won 2 out of 7.
Yeah.
But they have been... We've got to mention.
I was about to say the integral match.
The most extraordinary game of the season.
Against Widnes.
They were 3-0 down.
I did crack this joke on the weekly show, but I did have to check they weren't playing with the Vikings the way they were going.
They were 3-0 down after half an hour. 15 minutes into the second half, they're 5-3 up. And then they go on to lose 6-5. What an absolutely ludicrous game of football. I would have loved to have seen that.
What about Hyde United, Dan? You're another team on 26 points.
Yeah,
three points outside the playoffs.
Hyde having a bit of a renaissance at the moment. They had that spell where they didn't win, I think it was 10 games.
It's interesting, when we interviewed Dave McGurk, at that point, they were just at that point where they were suffering a bit of sluggishness, let's put it that way, and then,
yeah,
as you said, since Dave's been on the show, been decent.
We have to thank you for that, Ben.
No worries, my pleasure.
It's 2 wins, 2 draws. 8 points, which I think if you'd have asked Dave a month ago, would he have accepted? He would have absolutely bitten your hand off for. But Hyde have really strengthened at the back. They've brought in Tom Dean, who looks like a phenomenal signing. I know it didn't quite work out from FC United. He kind of rehabilitated a little bit. Clitheroe come over to Hyde, which Hyde were looking at him in the summer. They wanted to bring him in then, but FC nabbed us to it, kind of thing. And We needed that solidity at the back. He's brought it. We've got Brad
Roscoe had a very tidy debut on Saturday, didn't he?
He did, absolutely. And Paddy Lane, he's firing on all cylinders.
Man of the match, was he on?
Yeah,
magnificent.
Comfortably man of the match. He's actually training with, been training with a championship club this week. He's playing a game for them in the academy this week. But in the meantime, at the end of the season, if Liam Tong is not in the team of the year, I will be having words. I'll be disgusted.
Who does the team of the year? Is that the managers, or is that the?
It's the managers, but we've got the supporters one as well. We do.
If he's not in one or both, I will be exceptionally annoyed, because he's been brilliant for Hyde.
If I was a Hyde supporter, I'd be pretty optimistic on the evidence that I saw on Saturday. They recruited really well and look a really well-rounded team to me now.
Let's talk about, there's only 4 more teams that we've not talked about yet. They're all kind of more or less in the same part of the table. Michelover Sports.
Yeah, we just mentioned him. See if that is the turning point they needed, nicking that win at Buxton, because he'd been on a not a free fall, that's an exaggeration, but they've been on a poor run of form, lost 4 successive league games. Let's see the next, let's see what happens.
Tough side to beat, though. Again, Ratcliffe only scraped a 1-0 defeat, and Padlow Mills put a massive performance in.
If the season finished now, Michelover would be delighted. So let's just see what happens. That 1-0 could be the little bounce that they need.
And Whitby Town?
I'd be a little bit worried.
13 games played, though.
Cut runs again.
Cut runs,
no, but I don't know why it's 13. I'm just saying it's 13.
I think you're over-exaggerating.
We've not won any of the last 5 games. Yet. They've lost that kind of... They started the season flow so well, didn't they?
Going to Gloucester, going to Peterborough, it's a bit of a...
I'm not worried in the sense that they're in grave danger. They seem to have lost their way a little bit. That's all I mean by that.
They did pick up 2 credible draws against Basford and Nantwich.
Exactly. They're still a decent side. They're not going to be in any trouble this season.
No.
What about Matlock Town?
Not scoring, but that's been their story. Were
they beating Grantham?
I think they were. Yeah.
They were. They did feel the fume of not being able to go on, because that would have been a big, big result for them. They need to get their act together. What's 6 of the past 7?
Yeah, one win in 6.
Yeah,
I think that was against Michelover.
Yeah, but that's when Michelover were in a bit of a funk.
I mean, we're doing a fixture preview shortly. They've got FC United away this coming Saturday.
So it gets so no easier for them.
You can look for the match report in the non-league paper. And just a couple of other teams. Grantham Town.
Yes.
Speaking of Matlock, Grantham Town, from one end of the foggy pitch to the other.
They were born in 15th place. In 15th when the club was formed.
Talking about teams struggling a bit. Yeah, again, great win against Rushall in the FA Trophy in the last month, but league form.
They've drawn more than they've won or lost, which kind of tells its own story.
Yeah, they're up and down.
And Morpeth? The final in Morpeth. I think we've gone for everyone. Morpeth Town.
Does this then become a real problem for Morpeth? No, probably not yet, but if the weather churns, they're going to get postponed.
What do you mean?
As in, backlog.
Oh, I see.
Sheer volume of games could torpedo their season, which would be a real shame.
I don't think they're any better than top 8.
Okay.
In all honesty, top 10, top 8, something like that.
Last couple of games as well, I think, has put to bed. Not could they be massive playoff contenders? I've seen a lot of games in hand to say that, but look at the last couple of league games.
It was a strange result at Brigg, wasn't it?
Yeah, Brigg game, and then Abbott and Colby's as well.
Just to say, did we mention Gavin Allett leaving Gainsborough?
No, we haven't.
Where's he gone?
We're not mentioning Gainsborough, really.
We haven't mentioned Gainsborough, really.
No, there's nothing to say, is that they've been playing in the FA Trophy, so they're still where they were.
I mean, with the games we've seen, Curtis Woodhouse really making a change at this moment. Again, another team making up.
Well, they
didn't
win a league game since he went in.
Nope. Well, Swampy did say he'd be in the playoffs.
He did.
He did, but they've that was before all the other managers, all the new managers were bouncing elsewhere.
They've done great, and they've had a very tough couple of league games. So they were away to FC United, which they actually did have played all right, didn't they? And then they lost at home to Morpeth, which is no disgrace either.
Marpeth aren't great away from home though. It was only the second away win of the season, and Gainsborough still not won on the travels yet. In fact, they've only picked up 1 point out of 7 games, so they've got to pick the feet up.
Well, on that note, that is the end of part 2 of the MPL show for the month of November. That is our look back at November. Coming up though, we're going to be talking about the fixtures this weekend in the first weekend of December. Welcome back to the NPL show for the month of November. But enough about November, let's talk about December. Coming up in December, we've got the FA Trophy. We're obviously going to do a proper preview next week. But just to get your thoughts, gentlemen, just before we crack on for the league, we have got the four ties now next Saturday involving NPL sides. Mm. South Shields firstly taking on Southport. We've already hinted that we think there might be an upset in the offing there. Can Southport beat South Shields?
Definitely. If they play really, really well, they've got a chance. But yeah, I'm going for South Shields with that.
Matlock against Chorley.
Chorley, they're starting to pick up the pace a little bit, aren't they, in the National League?
Causeway Lane in mid-December.
But again, it's Chorley in mid-December going to
the home from home.
Yeah.
FC United against Kettering.
If it's going to be a replay, I reckon it's going to be in that one.
It's going to be a 5-5 draw.
Yeah.
And Atherton calls against Barrow.
What a great
Barrow. So I mean, Barrow at the top of the National League or second, something like that. Atherton calls. It's come at a great time for Brad Cook,
yeah,
actually.
It's a holder house.
Nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Barrow will be the number of years they've spent in the National League nor in
that. Is this Cole's best run in the competition?
Yeah.
Yes.
First in the
It's South Shields as well. First time they've made the first round too.
Really?
Yeah. And I just think it's an absolutely perfect game that for Coles. I think they'll get beat, but I don't think they're going to get rolled over or anything like that. It's going to be a really, really good game.
So a big good luck to everyone in FA Trophy action this next Saturday. But this weekend, we've got a plethora of Saturday league matches to contend with. We might as well do this in some form of order. Alphabetical. No, and let's start with South Shields v Warrington. That's
Game of the weekend. Well, game of the season.
I think it is.
Earlier.
If Warrington win that, that would be pretty seismic heading towards the end of 2019.
They put everything wide open. But again, Warrington have done it already this year, the playoff final. So it's going to, obviously South Shields will want to get some sort of revenge.
We talked all last season, didn't we, about how strong Warrington were defensively, and I'm not in any way suggesting they're not strong defensively, by the way, but they are scoring more freely, aren't they?
Yeah, certainly are this season, and it's going to make for either one of the greatest games you'll see all calendar year or one of the worst. I don't think there's going to be any in between with it.
Sell it, Burke. What a fixture.
I think it'll be a belter.
I do as well. I think if you're a fan of one of the teams, you're going to be feeling so tense during that match, because it's going to feel like a title decider, even though there's no way on earth it is, even if South Shields do go on and win it. But it does feel like there's a lot riding on this game.
Let's talk about Lancaster City. They're travelling to Buxton this weekend. Gary Haywood's first game in charge.
It makes it a little bit more difficult to plan because you're not now sure what you're going to get from the home team. But it is still a home team that's low on confidence and has just come off the back of a poor result at home. So Lancaster's still definitely favourites to win that game.
It's not a pitch that suits Lancaster's style, though, is it? They're a very direct team.
Yeah, they are.
And I don't know, I can see Buxton getting something out of it. I don't necessarily think they'll win it, but it's going to be a closer game than a lot of people
would
think.
It would represent a very good start for Gary Haywood if they do.
Yeah.
True. Michael Clegg, it'll be his first time properly in charge at Ashton United as they travel to Basford.
The thing at Ashton is the players, they've got to buy in to Clegg's philosophy. He's a very upbeat, very optimistic manager. And if you've got a lot of old war horses there who've seen it all before and don't know him from Adam, then will they buy into it? I think they will eventually. Will they have done on Saturday? I don't know. But I actually think whether it's Cleggy or whether it was Jody, I think Baser would win that one. But
Baser's form as well has not been the best recently.
No,
it
hasn't.
At the right time.
It's still pretty reliable at home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What about Radcliffe? Fifth placed Radcliffe will be traveling to Stafford Rangers.
It's got to be an away win. Stafford are at sixes and sevens at the moment. Radcliffe are scoring sixes and sevens every other game, pretty much. I think it's got to be an away win. That if they don't win, I think John Macken will be distraught, absolutely distraught.
I agree there straight away. Playing the game we've been playing, it's a 3 points Radcliffe. Top, maybe fourth, top three before Christmas.
Dear. Come on, then, you are.
It's going to get worse.
Don't get in touch, listener. Just store it all up.
None of us saw this coming.
Stalybridge Celtic, currently in sixth. They'll be hosting Whitby Town. Big game for Whitby, this, isn't it?
It's a big game for Stalybridge. Yeah, two teams who you can't really predict what they're going to do. Completely depends on which side shows up from both teams. I haven't got a clue which way that'll go.
What about Witton Albion? They'll be hosting Grantham Town.
Do you want to make your joke now?
I've done it. I just did it.
High scoring game coming.
It's very simple. That one of the best home teams in the league against one of the worst travellers. Carl McCall will be looking at this and saying, "This is a game penciled in December that Witton want to continue the run that they're on, and they will." Be big favourites to do that.
0-0.
It'll be 0-0, won't it?
It won't be 0-0 at Broadhurst Park. Probably will now, I've said it. FC United against Matlock Town.
No, of course not. These goal actually. Nil-nil.
I wonder what would happen if you put these
Matlock, they've played 16 games, which is a game less than Witton. They've only scored 19 goals.
That goes back to the very start of the season on when they were winning games 1-0 and just grinding out those results. They've carried on grinding out the results, but they're grinding out 1-0 defeats now. So, I don't know, I don't want to say the wheels have come off, because I think they've just reverted back to the mean, really. They're exactly where I would have thought Matlock Town would be at the start of the season.
Really show the defence up this weekend, otherwise we could be looking at a high-scoring game.
What about Nantwich Town? Nantwich Town will be travelling to Morpeth Town. Morpeth... The league position, I think we said it earlier, it's a bit of a trick at the moment.
Morpeth's going to be well rested, but it's, again, the weather. I think the weather might actually
Was it floodlight failure last night?
Floodlight, yeah. Tried it three times and...
Is this game kicking off at 3 o'clock?
At the moment it is. Obviously, so subject to...
Nantwich would be delighted if they're told to get there for midday, won't they?
I reckon Morpeth could get some out of that one.
I think I'd put Morpeth as the favourites, actually. Yeah, slight favourites.
Hyde United will be travelling to Atherton Coles on Saturday. First tricky question for Berkey. Berkey is in a away game, but you can get there on the V1 and V2 bus, I believe. So,
well,
V3 is it?
The V1 goes to Lee. I'm not sure where you'd have to get off for it, but I think you could somewhere.
There's an island where you can walk. Yeah. It's about 20 minutes.
Oh, that's handy. Good knowledge.
Yeah, I'd probably...
Are you going then?
Yeah. I'll be getting the train now. So. I've been on the Guardian bus way enough. It's a bit boring.
Take it for granted now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, with that, if you don't get the front seats at the back, on the top deck, you can't see anything because they're so high. So you just sort of stare at the back of the person in front of your seat.
For those listeners elsewhere in the north of England who are going, what is a guided busway? It's kind of like an upside-down cable, isn't it? With a bus on it.
No cables.
Yeah. It's like a pacer train, but more comfortable.
Not an actual bus.
Without rails. Yeah. Anyway, I think we covered that fixture off well there.
What'll
happen on the field?
God knows. I really don't know. It's going to be really high. Well, we did score on Saturday twice, but the refereeing linesman saw to that, didn't they?
Where's VAR when you need it?
I think that's going to be a really combative game, that. I think it's going to be a belting match. Don't know which way it's going to go, mind you, but it's going to be a good game.
Michelob Sports have got a chance on Saturday to go right up the table. They're travelling to Bamber Bridge, though.
Michelob have got fond memories of going to Brigg after what happened on the final day of last season, so they won't be...
Is that where they stayed up?
It's where they stayed up.
Just one other game to talk about for Saturday, and this is a quite interesting one. I think Gainsborough Trinity against Scarborough Athletic.
Ooh. It's got draw written all over it, hasn't it? But yeah, it should be a decent match, that one. And
Scarborough could go up to 12th.
Well, Scarborough won't have the pressure of playing in front of the crowd at Flamingoland Stadium. So they've actually done okay away from home. I mean, not done great, but they've not drawn every match either. They've won a couple along the way. It's going to be a really good match, that. And I'd like to say Scarborough are going to win it, actually. The Daz Kelly effect will come into full force. Yeah, come on, I'm going to be positive about it. Scarborough Athletic, come on, Sea Dogs.
There we go. Just to say, there's other views available too, and some people at home going, yep, come on, Gainsborough, is what they're saying, of course. Right, I think that'll do for this week's NPL show. That was the month of November's NPL show. A big thank you to Mr. Ian Burke from 26NIL.
Thanks,
for joining us. Andrew Simpson, non-league reporter from Cheshire. Match report available in the non-league paper.
I'll be at the 0-0 draw at Wincham Park on Saturday.
Sell it. Good.
And it'd be great 0-0, though. There'd be loads of goals disallowed. Sorry.
And James Hayes, it's all staying in. And James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us. Thank you to the Heating Ops, as always. Look out for the Step 4 show as well this week, where we're hopeful that we'll be joined by Ilkeston, Trafford, Clitheroe, Ramsbottom United, Cleethorpes and Spalding. That's the plan on Wednesday. Tune in on Friday to see how successful I was. But a big thank you to everyone for joining us. And wherever you're going this weekend, make sure you have fun. Bye-bye.